Well, welcome to Quaker Church Online, the second edition. It's kind of exciting to be interacting online through Zoom today. It opens a wide realm of possibilities. Today, I want to offer a practicum on meditation. It's actually advantageous that we are not in the same room for this practicum. You can lie down or sit in a comfortable chair or sit in a formal meditation posture if you like to. None of this would be feasible in the worship room. So as I speak, look around for a comfortable place to lie or sit down for about 30 minutes, where you can still hear my voice through the computer or your device. Some cushions or padding might be useful to locate. I'll also ask you to get a glass of plain water to have within reach. Please get a glass of water now if you don't already have it on hand. If you happen to fall asleep, I won't be offended. Just mute your computer so that we don't hear you snoring. You can always come back to the recorded message to hear what you may have missed. I will also provide a written version of this sermon, which will contain useful links and references. While you prepare a comfortable place to sit or lie down, I'll make some introductory remarks. After that, I will get to the scripture reading that is listed in the church bulletin. I have given three sermons over the past 8 months on the topic of eco-despair. All three sermons are available on the website of Berkeley Friends Church. I've defined eco-despair as the paralysis that often takes hold when we grapple with economic or ecological threats that seem beyond our control. For years now, our lives have been filled with alarming news of economic inequality and ecological breakdown. Now the pandemic of coronavirus is touching people in personal and frightening ways. The epidemic is an ecological disturbance. The broad ecology of human society is in turmoil all across the globe. This epidemic also makes the tight connection between ecology and economics painfully clear. We cannot fix the economy without addressing ecology, and vice versa. In each of my previous three sermons, I have recommended meditation as part of a comprehensive approach to dealing with eco-despair. The first sermon examines other aspects of a comprehensive approach that go beyond meditation. However, today I want to focus on meditation. This seems like a good time to move from the theoretical to the practical level. This is the first time I will attempt to provide a taste of meditation beyond what Quakers ordinarily experience in the course of worship. Quaker worship is, of course, rather profound, but we don't actually do that much worship compared to the Quakers of old, who sat in meeting for worship for several hours at a time. If we want to amplify our limited formal worship, most of us need a formal meditation practice to use at home. For some of you, my remarks will be familiar. For others, they may be new. In some ways, Quaker waiting worship is similar to meditation. Both systems utilize silence. Both systems build a structure around the silence. Quaker worship is almost always a group process. Meditation is more often a solitary process. As I have pointed out previously, meditation is recommended in the Bible, primarily in the book of Psalms, which is the most interior book in the Bible. It's where you would expect to find material on meditation, and it's there. The only problem is that it does not explain how to do it. In the Hebrew tradition, this discrepancy is easily resolved because Jews recognize that the written Torah is only half of the revelation at Sinai. The other Torah is the verbal Torah that was transmitted from teacher to student down through the ages. This means that the written Bible, as we have it, was never intended to be a complete revelation from its very inception. An oral tradition was most certainly available to Christians as well, After all, the New Testament did not take shape for several decades after Christians were announcing the good news throughout the Roman Empire. However, the Christian tradition was interrupted very early. The death of Jesus was the first major interruption. We can only imagine what else he may have taught his disciples had he not been killed soon after his ministry began. Then, some 40 years later, Christianity was interrupted again by the Roman invasion of Jerusalem in 70 AD. The church in Jerusalem was devastated. If they had books or records, these were largely destroyed. And again, 233 years later, Christianity was absorbed by the Roman Empire and forced to conform to Roman standards of uniformity and discipline. This precipitated a civil war between Christians, as some leaders imposed their form of Christianity on other Christians who they deemed heretics. Many Christians died at the hands of other Christians, a process that has persisted throughout modern history. Early Quakers called this Roman takeover of Christianity the Babylonian captivity of the church. And this captivity persists to this day, aside from Quaker society and some Anabaptist groups. Then a fourth interruption occurred during the Reformation, when Luther's slogan of sola scriptura gained ascendancy. Protestant Christians attempted to base all Christian teachings on the contents of the written Bible, and they suppressed the monastic traditions of the Roman Catholic Church. While those monastic traditions were not perfect, they did recognize the value of meditation, as some Catholic traditions do to this day. These usually take the form of contemplative prayer. Contemplative prayer would be a worthy topic to learn about, but I am not qualified to teach it. Instead, I will attempt to describe meditation from a broadly Buddhist perspective, which is, in many ways, more familiar to us in California than is contemplative prayer in the Catholic tradition. Take your pick, there is a lot to learn in either way. More specifically, however, I will be describing meditation from the perspective of mindfulness-based stress reduction. MBSR was systematized by an American physician, John Kabat-Zinn, in Boston over the past 40 years. MBSR takes meditation techniques from Buddhism, but separates those techniques from a Buddhist belief system. I should add that meditation does not replace prayer. It supplements prayer. If you find that prayer relieves your anxiety, that's great. However, if prayer alone does not seem sufficient, meditation may be a useful supplement. I ended my last sermon in early February saying, "Don't wait until you are thirsty to dig a well." But now, just 8 weeks later, we are in the midst of a viral epidemic that has killed thousands of people. This is not the optimal time to begin meditation if you have not previously done so. It may be harder to meditate under the current circumstances. On the other hand, you may be more motivated than ever before. The purpose of meditation is to calm the mind in the face of danger. If you are able to calm the mind, you will handle a dangerous situation better than if you are distraught. One of the oldest Sanskrit manuals on meditation begins with this aphorism by Patanjali: "Yoga Chitta Vritti Nirodha." This could be translated as, "Meditation is the eradication of mental disturbance." 500 years before Patanjali, in the Hebrew tradition, Isaiah recorded similar words in chapter 30 of his writings. He said, "In reflection and rest you shall be saved. Quietness and trust shall be your strength." Isaiah offers similar advice in chapter 26 of his writings, where he says, "Come, my people, enter your chambers and shut your doors behind you. Hide yourselves for a little while until the wrath passes." Jesus may have been thinking of this verse from Isaiah when he taught people how to pray. As recorded in chapter 6 of Matthew, Jesus said, "Whenever you pray, go into your room and shut the door and pray to your Father who is in secret. And your Father who is in secret will reward you." Then from the book of Psalms, we find this evocative verse in Psalm 77. The psalmist says, "I commune with my heart in the night. I meditate and examine my breath." And finally, another verse from the Gospel of Matthew in chapter 10. "Whoever gives a cup of water to one of these little ones in the name of a disciple, truly I tell you, none of these will lose their reward." So with these scripture readings as background, let's prepare for a short encounter with meditation. Please sit up now if you are lying down and locate the glass of water I asked you to have on hand. There are many meditation techniques that have been devised for the purpose of promoting calmness in the face of danger. I will only describe techniques used in MBSR. Mindfulness-based stress reduction was developed for people with chronic illness who had exhausted the capabilities of standard medicine. They were facing chronic pain, physical limitation, and the anxiety that often goes along with pain, disability, and loss of income. Does that sound familiar? In many cases, MBSR enabled some people to control pain without the use of opiates, and in some cases, to regain full or partial use of their body. It also allowed some people to see their glass as half full rather than half empty. So let's start this exercise with a glass of water. Please be seated while you do this. Take hold of the glass of water that I asked you to get. Lift up your glass of water and take a look at it. Remember that this water originated in the High Sierras and came here through an elaborate system of aqueducts. Notice the transparency of the water. Inhale it and smell it. Now lift the glass to your lips and feel the rim of the glass resting against your lips. Raise the glass higher so that the water also comes in contact with your lips. Notice the sensation of the water on your lips. Now slowly sip some water. How does it feel in your mouth? Where does it flow? Does it have a flavor? Is it refreshing? Imagine that you were thirsty on a hot day. How would water feel in that situation? Go ahead and swallow some water. Notice how the tongue manages to grip the water and in a smooth, coordinated maneuver, send it into the throat. Swallow another sip of water and notice how the throat rises to receive the water from the tongue. The seemingly simple act of swallowing is, in fact, highly coordinated, complex, and miraculous. Sip some water again. Notice how it feels on your lips, on your tongue, in your throat. Can you feel the water passing down behind the heart to enter the stomach, Does your stomach gurgle? Is the water cool or cold? Warm or hot? Do you want more water? Or is this enough? How can you tell? Feel free to sip more water while I continue. Meditation is a lot like drinking a glass of water and transforming that water into a gourmet feast. It is like turning water into wine. You have not changed, and the water has not changed, but how you notice the water makes all the difference between an automatic afterthought that says, I am no longer thirsty, into a multidimensional sensory experience based in the satisfaction provided by a glass of water. You don't have to be dying of thirst to appreciate the miracle of clean water, but you do have to take the time to notice the miracle. Now, if you wish to lie down, this is a good time to do so. You may want a pillow under your head and perhaps a blanket to cover yourself with. Or you can sit in a comfortable chair. Meditation is a tool. And like most tools, it requires skill to use it. It requires practice, and it improves over time. It is not intended to replace ordinary mental processes. You still have to fill out tax forms, balance your checkbook, and watch carefully for pedestrians in crosswalks. You still need all the skills you have already acquired. Meditation is an extra bonus that only you can perform and only you can enjoy. Even so, other people may notice that something has changed if you persist with meditation. Some things may get easier. However, there are no guarantees, since life generally becomes more challenging and not less. Dr. Kabat-Zinn recommends 45 minutes a day of meditation in order to achieve therapeutic benefits for chronic pain or illness. However, shorter periods can also be helpful. Some people dismiss meditation as an abstraction. In fact, the opposite is true. The usual mental worries and preoccupations that concern us are the real abstractions. The things we fear most may never happen. We may never get cancer. We might not die of a heart attack. Anxiety is often focused on mental abstractions. As Jesus said, will worry change the color of a single hair on your head? The Gentiles, he said, worry, where will my next meal come from? Where will I find clothing? Jesus said, your Father in heaven knows that you need all of these things. So first, seek God's kingdom. And God's kingdom is right here, in your very midst, if you will just notice it. Meditation is the act of noticing the concrete reality of life that unfolds in your very midst, right in front of your nose, if you stop and notice it. The easiest aspect of life to focus on is your breath. Breath is always with you. It is dynamic, and it is all encompassing. You can feel breath in your nose, in your throat, in your chest, and in your abdomen. The oxygen you breathe is carried by the blood to all parts of the body. Similarly, you can learn to direct the breath to any part of the body. Some people find that breathing into a painful area decreases discomfort. If you are focused on breathing, you are in a state of meditation. It is simple as that. But you may find that it is not altogether easy to stay focused on the breath. Pretty soon the mind wanders off into an abstraction, perhaps a daydream, or you remember the bills you need to pay, or the fear of living with uncertainty. That is normal. That is fine. Just go back to breathing and notice the breath. You can focus on your breath in any position whatsoever. You can focus on the breath while stopped at a red light or while waiting in line at the post office. It's amazing that the breath is always there, ready when you are. The breath is like a faithful lamb that follows you wherever you go. Even so, there are some postures that facilitate meditation more than others. MBSR recommends three basic postures for meditation: lying down, sitting, and standing. Different people respond to different positions for meditation on different days. Try them all and then decide what works for you. Be open to surprises. So take a position in a chair or lying on the floor or in a formal meditation posture and begin to notice the breath. Whatever position you choose, let it be comfortable. The second most quoted aphorism of Patanjali is this one: Sthira Sukham Asanam. The position for meditation should be stable and pleasant. So find a comfortable position, recognizing that you can find comfort in a wide variety of positions, even positions that involve some pain. But for now, if lying down is comfortable, that would be a good position to stay in. However, some people will feel more comfortable in a chair. Decide what is best for you. The emphasis in MBSR is allowing the breath to be slow and deep, but this does not require forcing the breath into a particular pattern. MBSR says, just notice the breath and allow it to be slow and easy and regular. Let the breath decide when to start, when to stop, when to reverse, when to pause. When to deepen. As you breathe, notice the feeling of the breath in the nostrils, in the inner passages of the nose, in the throat, in the trachea, filling the lungs, feel the abdomen rise and fall, how does it feel when inhalation is complete? And during the pause that precedes the next inhalation, how does the breath feel during exhalation and in the pause that precedes the next inhalation? Does the air move smoothly? Is there effort? Is there obstruction? Is there comfort? Is there sweetness? Each of us has a finite number of days left on Earth. Will you have taken time to notice that you are alive and breathing? Will you take the time to notice what satisfaction the breath provides? The pleasure of breathing is the foundation of all other pleasures that we can know. For breath is the basis of life itself. This is what life is about. This is life lived abundantly in the face of any external circumstance. In the beginning, God breathed life into clay and created Adam, a living being. Adama is the Hebrew name for soil. Merge with the soil. Reconnect with Adam. Let God breathe into your nostrils today, so that you can taste and see that God is good to you, right here, right now. So this has been a brief introduction. There is much more to say about meditation, and a lot of material is on YouTube. For now, just keep breathing with awareness as long as you wish. And we will have another song in about 10 minutes. If someone wants to speak, please wait at least 5 minutes until 11:58 so that people can be with themselves for this time and experience their breath.